8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal.
Well, good afternoon. You are listening to KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 or 92.3 FM or streaming from KYRS.org. Welcome. It's a beautiful day here in Spokane, Washington. Gray skies. We got some interesting lighting in the library, though. Kind of an orange motif, which is kind of cool. I don't know what that means, but be that as it may, last week we talked about Trans Day of Remembrance in Coeur d'Alene. What we're doing a little closer to home now, we're going to talk about Spokane's observation of the Trans Day of Remembrance. And in the studio with me, I have Matt Danielson and Colton Gerard. And these two are kind of in the middle of it. I'm going to let them introduce themselves along with their lovely titles.
Well, hello.
Oh, that was nice.
I'm Matthew Danielson, the director of Spokane Pride. And we stepped in to kind of help out and steward this event for this year. And part of that was, you know, helping put together the Trans Day of Remembrance Planning Committee. And I have with me the lovely Colton Gerard, who is chair of that committee. Say hey.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, Colton, so good to have you. And What's your title, Colton? What's your complete title?
The chair of the Trans Day of Remembrance Committee.
All right, sounds good. That sounds real good. You can even pull that towards you if you want to. So now, you know, it's funny because there's been so many Trans Day of Remembrances, things that I've been to. Oh, probably, I'm going to guess since 2016, probably. But they, you know, they've always been in these different venues. I mean, one we did, I think, in front of City Hall. We did one over in the WSU, one of the nurses' buildings, it seems like, over there. I forget where it was the last time. But anyway, it seems like it's always a different group that puts it on, a different bunch of people. But so is this going to be a standing committee that you guys are going to do? So you do this one, the next year you'll be planning the next one?
Either way, I'd like this committee to stay together, but we're not making any big decisions about this particular event until, you know, next year, and we meet with Trans Spokane and all the stakeholders in this, because it came about kind of late in the game that we had to, you know, step up and kind of steward this event this year after a lot of conversations with Trans Spokane and them, you know, pulling their members. And I don't want to make any decisions for next year.
Okay.
But either way, I think having some sort of committee like this for Pride and for our community is helpful. For example, they're also helping us with the Miss Trans USA fundraiser next month. That's December 20th at 6 p.m. at Nine Bar and Bistro.
I had no idea. Yeah, I would have been doing crunches and stuff by now if I had known there would be an event like that going out.
But is it
too late to start not eating? That's what I want to know.
No, just either way, it's nice to have explicitly that representation at Pride.
Sorry about that.
Hey, what's going on?
I don't know why this song just started playing, but it's okay now. It's a little ghost in the machinery. So, that's a lot. That's a lot to unpack. Now, Trans Spokane. So there's the Spectrum Center, and then there's Trans Spokane, and I think sometimes people are kind of confused about that. Are they two separate? Do they work with each other? What's the relationship between Trans Spokane and the Spectrum Center?
I can't speak particularly to their relationship. I know there's something there. I know Spokane Pride works really closely with Trans Spokane and has tried to support them a ton. They do, you know, some meetings at our center, and we we support many other events like the Trans Clothing Swap, like this event. And
okay.
Just basically whatever that we'll let them borrow stuff for, you know, so they can table and have a tent at Pride and Coeur d'Alene Pride. And,
well, and Pride's been so good about you let people borrow things for the No Kings rally. Did I step into something now? I don't know.
Well, actually, we're safe there because Maddie just borrowed my things for No Kings.
Actually, that's true. That's true.
Okay.
The last No Kings, right. I asked Colton to show up with a few things.
All right.
And I'm like, this is not... Anyway.
Yeah. we are good.
Okay.
We got extra tents.
Yeah.
Now, Colton, how did you get involved in this? How did you wind up taking the reins of this beast?
Honestly, I took a layoff at just the right time.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Where did you get laid off from?
I'm an apprentice with the electrical union.
Oh, okay.
And my schedule's a little weird, and I've been working out of town for a while, and, well, you know, the state of our economy and things have kind of trickled down. The construction industry is running a little slow right now in this area. And speaking of the No Kings, I actually overheard Matt here talking to you.
Oh, no kidding.
And I was like, hey, you need some help. And I happen to have some free time. So, you know, and to kind of come back around to your previous questions about the longevity of the committee, it's definitely something that we want to see happen. I personally hope to stay involved as much as possible, but my role as a leader will kind of be dictated a little bit by my work schedule. So that's why Matt mentioned, you know, we're going to kind of come back together in January, and that's when we're going to sit down and have a discussion about what we want that committee to look like moving forward, and how we want that committee to interact with the community and interact with Pride, and who's going to be in the ranks of leadership for it.
Okay, very
so cool. There's, like I said, just lots of communication and conversation about what that's going to look like before anybody makes a solid commitment.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, you know, maybe there's some people who I would assume probably most people listening know about the Trans Day of Remembrance. I mean, so maybe we need to just kind of like look at from a bigger picture. How did the Trans Day of Remembrance get started? I mean, universally, let me narrow that a little bit. What's the focus of the Trans Day of Remembrance? I mean, because we've got Trans Day of Visibility, people are kind of, you know, so what's the difference between the two?
So, you know, unfortunately, we are part of a community that experiences a lot of violence. And with that comes a lot of fear. And so Trans Day of Remembrance is about a few things. Obviously at the core of it, it's about remembering and honoring the individuals who were specifically lost, both to violence as well as to suicide in response to trauma and violence. So obviously that's the core of it. Our event specifically, and I think what the underlying, more so now than ever, what the underlying, you know, heart of it needs to be is community. So we need to figure out, obviously, while we're remembering and we're mourning and we're honoring these people that we've lost, we're also talking about how we need to come together as a community to prevent those statistics from growing in the future, to share support systems, to share resources, to make sure the people that are the most vulnerable in our community know that they are loved, know that they are worthy, know that they are part of something, and they are not alone.
Right.
And again, more so now than ever, I think it's that sense of community, that sense of not being alone that we are all really looking for.
Yeah.
And so as much as this is about remembering, it's also about coming together and being part of something as a whole.
Okay. Yeah. And I think, you know, the statistics kind of back it up that trans people are 4 times more likely to be victims of violence than any other, you know, than cis people. And so the people that we're going to mention, because I'm part of this, too. I'll be speaking. I was going to do a poem, but I saw I'm doing a speech, and I'm like, oh, I got a speech, which is even better because I'm doing a speech on Thursday out in Coeur d'Alene. I'll just recycle it. Yeah.
My bad.
No, that's okay. I might even told you that. No, that's great. I mean, that worked out good for me.
I just know you were such a wonderful, wonderful speaker. I made the assumption.
You should hear me as a poet. I would love to. It's just amazing. No, I think people need to know that the focus is really going to, we're going to talk about people that have died in our community, and meaning our community, you know, Idaho, Washington, I don't know, maybe into Montana, I don't know.
Well, I believe the statistics are for the country as a whole.
Okay.
For the country as a whole from October to, I think it goes from October 1st to September 30th of the following year. So
okay.
I believe I was just informed this afternoon that a few more names have already been added just in the, and we are going to include them in our,
Yeah. Cause I had a name that I'd given Matt too. So
yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure you got that one and that. Yeah. So, but all the names I've had so far, they were like from Idaho and Oregon and Bozeman. And then the one that I had was from Spokane, but that's another thing is people don't realize that, You may look in the see the obituaries and see somebody and not even realize that person is trans, because lots of times families are not accepting, and they actually kind of are so unaccepting and withholding their love from this individual that they do feel excluded, and they may kill themselves from being so isolated. And then that might have been the first thing the family did, but the last thing they do to dishonor this person is to, you know, show a picture of them, of who they were before they transitioned, and use their name before they transitioned. And so people might look in the paper and not realize that there, you know, that there are trans people who die in our community, you know?
Right. Very much so.
What do you think? What do you think drives the violence? Why is there more violence towards trans people, do you think, than cis people?
I think, as with most violence, it comes down to fear and a lack of understanding. Obviously, people fear what they don't understand. But I also think that the trans community as a whole prove so many of their stereotypes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're conception of what men and women are supposed to be, who they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to do, where they're supposed to fall in line. You know, we challenge every single one of those notions. And we also have an ability, or not all of us, but many of us have an ability to live a level of authenticity that they couldn't even fathom.
Yeah.
Because they live in a world that told them that they had to be a specific way, shape, or thing. Like they had to be a certain way to fit in.
Yeah.
They had to fill their roles. And so they suppress so much of their real feelings. They suppress their emotions. They suppress their desires. And what happens when people suppress those things is they get angry.
Yeah.
They get angry and they lash out at the people that have the ability to do or have what they wish they could.
That's a good point.
And whether they realize it or not, we prove everything wrong. Like we confuse them.
Yeah.
They can't wrap their head around us because we are so far outside of the realm of acceptable to them.
Yeah. And I think, especially since now there's such an element of lying is so acceptable now. Being dishonest is an acceptable thing. In one party, it's pretty much a virtue to be a dishonest person. And trans people tell the truth. And that's the thing. You know, I think if you were gay or lesbian, you can kind of hide that a little bit, I think. but it doesn't have, you know, but no one's going to walk. Lots of times, gay and lesbian people, you know, nobody knows unless somebody tells them. But if we're walking down the street, and especially like someone like me who's, you know, I'm not really completely passable. I'm 6'2", you know, and so people might look at me and go, whoa, what's going on? But I'm telling the truth. And that's a truth that didn't make my life any easier. You know, it's not a truth that I told for any advantage for myself. You know, I think that most people to stay safe would just tell a lie or, you know, to just go along. And I think that for people who routinely are untruthful people, I think truthful people really, it puzzles them for one thing. Like, what's in it? What's in it for them? Why would they do that? I think, like, you look at Trump when he went to Arlington and looked at these soldiers who had died and said, what was in it for them? They're all a bunch of suckers and losers. You know, that there's never, it has to be some monetary or power gain to do anything, whether it's to tell the truth or to lie or whatever. And I think that that's very confusing and very dangerous for an economic system that we're now lapsing into, this fascism that depends upon people having these relegated gender roles, and especially on the, you know, women are supposed to be nothing but child bearers. And if they aren't, then they're worthless, you know? So I think that, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that's a big thing, is it's a big puzzlement to people.
Well, and especially with trans men. So trans women, it's, I don't want to say it's easy to understand, but it's easier to, it's obviously a more heated topic. Trans men kind of, they forget we exist because, yeah, again, we break their logic. Okay. Yeah. Right. Like you were just talking about how women who can't, you know, women who aren't birthing children are worthless. But so therefore I fall into that category. But at the same time, they also understand me because they can understand the concept of wanting to elevate,
exactly,
yourself. So, yeah. And then also bring up bathrooms. Oh man. Like, yes, you know, I was speaking to two individuals that were protesting, or not protesting, they were signing petitions outside of the Trader Joe's. They had the...
Oh, I talked to her too.
Yeah. So there was the two individuals, right? And obviously, I know you listeners out there can't see me, but I pass incredibly well.
Yeah, you are incredible. I mean, if people had to say, you and I were standing next to each other and say, pick the trans person, no one... 90, you know, I would get it almost every single time.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, people can know me for years, and if I don't tell them, they won't know.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, now.
Oh, you were talking about the petition gather.
Oh, so I looked at them and I said, well, so, you know, what are your thoughts on trans women in women's restrooms? And of course, they gave me the standard answer of, oh no, you know, keep. And so I was like, okay, well, that's when I dropped the bomb that always confuses those folks.
I wish I could have, you know, been there for
Oh,
that.
I love telling it when I'm like, okay, well, I was born female. Let me backtrack. I looked at the guy and I said, I was born female, so where should I use the restroom? And he kind of gets a very puzzled look on his face, and he's, if you were born female, then the women's room. And so then I looked the woman who was 2 feet away, you know, 3 feet away from me, directly in the face. And I said, okay, how would you feel when I walked into the women's restroom with you? And, you know, they couldn't give me any justification. That's when they, well, let me ask you this. That's when they tried to turn the conversation around. But that's why, you know, I think, again, that's where so much of that anger comes from, is they can't wrap their head, like they can't make sense of it. Can't make sense of it. And every time they try to, it doesn't take much to break that sense of logic with pretty basic standard scientific medical information about us.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And you know, and then they know they're foolish. They know they're foolish, you know, in wanting, you know, a well-muscled bearded man to use the ladies' room.
Right.
That's what they want. You know, and it's like, really? Is that what you really want? I mean, you know, and I think, you know, Utah, when they had done their bathroom law, I think it was last year, 2 years ago, and I do a lot of camping. My wife and I, we travel around a lot. So I wrote them a letter, and I said, I understand you passed this law. I wrote to the governor and to the sponsor of the bill, and then to the Democratic opponent of it, and I think to the Attorney General. And I was like, I just want to know, when I go use the ladies' room in a state park, do I turn myself in each time that I do it? Or do I wait until the end, turn myself in once? And will you extradite me? That's what I'd like to know. And then also, I have friends who are trans men with big beards, and they've got muscles. And my understanding is you would like them to use the ladies' room. Is that correct? No, of course, no reply.
Right.
Because I'm not a constituent. So I really, but I didn't email this. I sent this. I put a stamp on an envelope, you know. So, I mean, it was, I don't think they get a lot of those. So they read it and they know how ridiculous they are. And I think that has to make them angry too. Like, you've driven me to be a ridiculous person.
Right.
You know?
Right. And unfortunately, we have to have things like Trans Day of Remembrance, because as much as I would love to go into a state like that and walk into the women's restroom just to prove a point, just to sit there and be like, hi,
yeah,
you put me here. Yeah. We can't, because that would be terrifying. And that would basically be, I mean, as soon as I come out of that room, someone's going to hurt me.
Well, and I think it was in Georgia that somebody did that and they got arrested. You were like, I'm just following your law.
Like, right? Like, and, you know,
and they don't understand. And for one thing, people don't get what a trans man and a trans woman are lots of times. They don't know. You know, like some people may think that I'm a trans man because that was what my original gender classification was, you right. know? And so they don't even really understand the nomenclature. You know, it'd be really just easy if people just chilled out. You know, let people use the bathrooms that they feel comfortable using.
Right.
You know, I think that'd be a good thing, and not worry about all the specifics, you know.
And really it's the kids that are getting the hardest side of these things, because so much of this is stemming from children, like the women in sports thing.
That's what they're petitioning.
That is stemming from children. Like, yeah. And if they actually listened to the majority of the actual like cis girls who speak out about this, they're afraid of these laws, because what's going to prevent some random man, you know, coach, doctor, nurse, whatever, from genital checks? Like, are you girl enough? Like, oh, you know, your hair is short. You know, are we going to check your genitals to make sure that you're not a boy? Like, where is the line? And that's what is so hard, is there's no way to go into this without really, really digging into some muddy waters. And it's that concept that transphobia does not just hurt trans people. You know, it hurts the girls that are now subject to inspection by men. It is harmful to the both lesbian and straight women who just prefer to have short hair and maybe prefer to wear pants and a button up over a blouse or a dress.
Or people who are intersex.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's okay, I got a break for my 20 minute after these stuff and then we're going to come back. But before we do that, so I was remiss, we should do this a bunch of times during this. How do people tell us when and where the Spokane's Trans Day of Remembrance is, and how people want to find out more? How do they do that?
Oh, yes. So it is October. I'm almost the wrong month. November 22nd, Saturday. It is at the Downtown Central Library on the third floor. It starts at 2 p.m., goes to 4 p.m., and then there will be a social hour till 5 p.m. There will also be a food drive, and we are accepting non-perishable food and menstrual product donations. What else? What am I forgetting, Matt?
And you're also free to show up a little early, too, because we'll have some art laid out. There'll be 20 organizations tabling, because why not?
Yeah, that's always good to connect people with the community. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the concept. Like, if we can fill a gap, make a connection that's going to change somebody's life, like, that's what we need to be doing.
Yeah.
Connection. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to load up our spots we have to do here, and we'll be back in just a little bit. Here we go.
When we come back, I want to...
Unfortunately, the song...
And we're muted.
For Out and About comes from the nonprofit Northwest Museum of Arts and Culture in Spokane. Now presenting Preston Singletary, Raven and the Box of Daylight, bringing the Tlingit creation story to life. And Fire, Rebirth and Resilience, exploring our region's major fires from the Great Fire of 1889 to today. More information at northwestmuseum.org.
KYRS wants your brand new car. Well, not really. Yes, indeed, it's a great feeling to finally get another car after the old one's been breaking down over and over. It's another great feeling to get even more use out of an old car. Here's how. Donate it to KYRS. Car donors get a membership, a tax deduction, and the satisfaction of really helping out. Just call toll-free 855-KYRS. Car. That's 855-597-7227. Honk, honk!
Support for Out and About comes from Eastern Washington University Running Start, where high school students can earn tuition-free credit before graduating. Applications at ewu.edu/runningstart. Support for Out and About comes from Eastern Washington University Running Start, where high school students can earn tuition-free credit before graduating. Applications at ewu.edu/runningstart.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Okay, we're back, and I apologize. I thought my music was going over, going out, but for some reason, my computer switched over to hearing aids, my Bluetooth, and so I was listening to the music, and I was looking at my levels, but I had no levels, and I'm like, well, that's weird. I can hear it. Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey, I have a disability, everybody. Give me a break. So, we are back, and I am talking to Matt Danielson and Colton Gerard, and we're talking about Spokane's observation of the Transgender Day of Remembrance, which will be this Saturday at 2 o'clock. And you can come early because there'll be stuff going on third floor of the Spokane Library, downtown library on Main. What's the format? So when people come here, what's it going to be like when they get here?
Well, we have quite a lineup, Maeve, actually. And we are going to be graced with the presence of the mayor this year. She is going to come and read the proclamation. So I'm going to do a little welcome, and then the mayor will come up on stage and read the proclamation. And then we've got, I believe we have 17 speakers and entertainers. We've got everything from people giving personal speeches. We've got some poetry. Then the Spectrum Singers will be with us doing a couple songs. We've got a couple pianists. I know at least one, if not both, are doing original songs. I know at least one is doing something original for sure.
I think they're both doing originals.
Fantastic. And then we've got another music artist that is doing some original composition. We've got someone singing a song. We've got someone doing some performance art.
I believe it was a drag king singing opera.
Yes. No, yes. Cool. We have a drag king singing opera. That is so much more fun. Yes. Yes. And then, as Matt said, I believe we have like 18 or 20 organizations that are tabling. So all sorts of different resources ranging from housing to employment to just community stuff. And then we will also have a multitude of artists that will be there. And just to throw this out, if anybody's listening, we have quite a bit of space available here in the library. So if you are an artist, if you are a trans artist and you would like to show your work at the event on Saturday, it is not too late. Just email us at info@spokanepride.org and let us know, and we would love to get some of your art displayed.
Speaking of artists, Maeve.
Yes.
Would you like to make a contribution?
Oh, well, cool. Well, maybe. I will have to see. I don't want to, you know, there's so many good trans artists out there. You know, I have worked on a piece that it's I just finished it, and I think I called it something like Matthew 25 Democracy Angel or something like that. And it's an angel of...
Thank you.
Did you make Matt an angel?
I did. It's well, no, because this angel is sort of ambiguous as far as gender. The angel has a blue, white, and pink kind of gown, but it's the angel's wings are rainbow colors of the rainbow flag, and inside the angel is holding a refugee family.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So, and that's going to be and I'll put that out there to the listeners too. I'm giving these away because I just think that, and I'll talk in my little speech I'm going to give on Thursday and Saturday, I'll talk more about it, but I really think that people need to recognize that, especially trans folks, that we're kind of in an interesting position now, in that I don't know about you, but when I go out like running and stuff like, well, you pass, so no one's going to, but I don't usually. But people will smile at me and they'll wave more than ever. And people want to stop and talk to me. And it started dawning on me that I think that we were right out of the gate. We were the number one enemy of you know, Project 2025 and the fascists who erroneously call themselves Christians.
Well, yeah, of course, they've got to pick the easiest target they can go for first.
And the smallest one that has no effect. I mean, this last election on this Tuesday's election, they spent, I forget how many, $45 million or something in one gubernatorial race and wasted all their money on anti-trans ads. When they did the polling, they found out that 3% of the people had an axe to grind with trans people. It was like a total waste of money. But I think they are so under such a dark force that they just enjoy hurting people. And trans people are really easy to hurt. Especially because they don't know a trans person, probably. You know, that's the, if you had a trans brother or sister or school chum or whatever, you probably wouldn't do it. But all to say, back to this art piece, I really think that people see us now as the opposite of that. They see us as the opposite of Trump. They see us as the opposite of fascists. So I feel like when I'm out, people know that I'm a friendly. I'm a friendly to logical people. I'm a friendly to kind people. I'm a friendly to people who are honorable. I'm a friendly to people who value justice. But of course, all the people who've thrown all that out the window to be a part of the cult don't see me as a friendly. But that's a very small minority of those people who join the cult. So that's why I painted that, because I feel like we have a responsibility to step up and help other people. And that's why, you know, I love Trans Day of Remembrance. It's a great thing. We have to remember these people and think about that. But I also think that we need to be action oriented. And I know you are, because I've seen you, you know, we're no kings. We are out there doing things. And I think that sometimes it's really easy to be overwhelmed as a trans person by all the rotten things that are surrounding you and the rotten things that are going on. But the moment you take the driver's seat and become the person that helps other people, then that's a real empowering thing. And it's actually, it lifts a lot of depression, at least for me. And I'm only speaking about me here. But so that's why I painted that.
You know, Maeve, that's exactly what art is supposed to be about, and that's what art is for. It's to be able to express the innermost, deepest sorrows and the innermost, deepest joys. Mm-hmm. But to touch on what you were talking about before, you know, with me being very passable, uh-huh, and trans women and you in general, maybe not always having that same privilege. But I think that both of us play an incredibly different, but in same, the level of importance is the same.
Yeah.
Because when someone meets someone like you, they're, you know, they can't change what their eyes see, and they're forced to try to work between that connection between their eyes and their brain. And it helps to desensitize almost, because they're, the longer somebody's around something and they see that this is just normal, right? It starts, okay, well, this is just normal. Then you got someone like me, and until I tell you, you're never going to know. But what that allows me to do is that allows me to exist in spaces, and it allows me to express opinions and perspectives in places that aren't otherwise going to be accepted, or other trans people may not have the ability to speak up in, because they don't know. You know, I'm hiding in plain sight with them. And then, so I can express some of these perspectives, express some of these viewpoints under the guise of being, you know, I'm putting air quotes, you know, one of them.
Yeah.
And then I love to drop that bomb.
That is so wonderful. I can just see being there and somebody's doing some kind of anti-trans statement or whatever.
Not even necessarily when it's anti-trans, but when somebody's like, for example, I was at work one day, and I worked at a place that had volunteers, okay? And we had a group of volunteers that came in with some folks from some development disabled kids from one of the high schools. They came in and would volunteer once a week. So they saw me once a week for like 6-8 months, right? Very friendly. We were friends, you know, good. Everything was very friendly. They were sitting in the break room one day, and they were talking about some law that was being discussed at the time. I don't remember the details, but some sort of law that was in, you know, the process, and it regarded trans folks. And I don't remember the, again, don't remember the details. It was a while ago, but they were discussing, you know, the legitimacy of gender and, and whether or not, you know, they should be protected, or are they just, you know, asking for, and so I'm kind of just listening. And then I just kind of, well, hey guys, hey folks, guess what? I'm one of those people. And it was just kind of that jaw-dropping moment for them, because, you know, here I am, somebody that they like. You know, now, you know, and that's what I like. I like to make someone that, again, it doesn't even have to be someone that's speaking negatively, but maybe it's just someone that's a little bit ignorant to the topic. They just don't know yet. They've never met somebody. And then with me, they've had the ability to really get to know me, to like just see me as another person. And then I drop that bomb, and now they can't help but they can't break that link. Like, this is someone that I know. This is somebody I like. Now, does this other perspective I have about, you know, this preconceived notion about what trans people are, is that stronger than what my eyes and my brain and my body and my life has told me for the last X amount of months that I've befriended this person? And so I do feel like I have a very special privilege, and I do feel like I have a responsibility to use it because of that. I can never seem to let my sense of justice will always override my desire to be comfortable and conflict free.
Well, that's why you came out. You know what I mean? You know, one of the reasons, I would think, you know, I mean, to do the right thing, to be an honorable person, you know, I think, I think that's wonderful. You know, one of the things I really miss is, because I'm retired now, was going into people's homes as a trans person, as a firefighter and paramedic, and helping people. And they didn't care. They didn't care. You know, they needed help. They had, they didn't care who or what I was. And it didn't matter who or what I was. I was there to help them.
Right.
And I really liked that. And not just because of like, hey, what do you think? I noticed you got this political sign in your yard, but here I am. I was just like, I like to help people. I like to help people, you know, and that makes me feel good. I get something out of that. So, I miss that a lot.
Yeah. You know, I think that actually brings up a topic that I wanted to touch base on. So something that is really kind of special about our event this year is not only is the mayor able to come and read the proclamation this year, but I can't speak to how important it is to live in a place where everyone belongs, to, you know, not to get, you know, that Spokane's motto, right? But to live in a place where the mayor will sign a proclamation, you know, regarding the Trans Day of Remembrance. She wasn't able to make it last year, but it was also very last minute. So the fact that she's showing up and reading this, and the fact that we are also going to have half of city council at this event supporting our community, like, part of the reason why I was able to... are you from here as well, May? Okay, so you maybe you can relate to this as well. You know, yes, we've been somewhat of a conservative area, being so close to Idaho and whatnot. But at least in my experience, I have been very fortunate, I think, to live in Spokane. I've always felt very safe and free to be who I am for the most part. I mean, I'm not saying we're perfect. There's always people that are going to be unfriendly. But the importance, especially to youth right now, I want the youth, the trans youth and the LGBT youth in this city to understand that they have leaders in this city that want to protect them, that value their life. I want to see those kids grow into what I consider the true gay agenda. The gay agenda is LGBTQ kids growing into happy, healthy, successful, alive, queer adults.
Yeah, that's you know, I mean, I think any decent human being would want the same thing. You know, I really, I have, Yeah, I don't think that's very revolutionary at all.
Sounds very controversial. What are you talking about?
Well, to you, Matt, I understand. I understand your perspective. But yeah, I just think Spokane is, I've traveled all over the place. And, you know, in the United States, I would say, I don't know, and maybe it's because people know me in Spokane, but I've never treated better any place than Spokane.
I mean, the battle of the friendly, the battle of the overly friendly around here.
I mean, like in New York, you'd think New York could be really progressive, and it is, but you get sideways looks. You get Seattle's pretty good, but Minneapolis wasn't good. Denver wasn't good. You know, so all I can say is Spokane is great in that regard. And I think that this election that we just had with Jonathan Bingle losing, which was just... That was out of nowhere. I mean, a very anti-trans person. A person who was very... I think he was very responsive to his constituents. It wasn't like he dropped the ball on that or dropped the ball on campaigning or anything. I just think there was such a backlash. Well, not even a backlash, but I'd say a reaffirmation of people saying, no, we don't want fascists running things. Or people who would bristle at being called a fascist, but you support fascists.
Bumgarner, we're coming for you next, man.
Bumgarner is really, that one, I used to lobby his office when I was in the fire union, you know, and he was always pretty bad, pretty, almost like stolen valor type thing, you know, like he'd pretend like he was a veteran, which he wasn't, but he was kind of like put on this tough guy swagger and stuff, which I always wondered about him anyways, as far as along those lines. But there's no way when I was lobbying him 20 years ago in the state Senate that he would have ever signed on to be a supporter of a 35-time convicted felon, of an adjudicated rapist, of a sexual molester, of a probable pedophile, certainly a guy who can't open up his mouth without lying. There is no way. If you could have gone back in a time machine 20 years ago and say to him, this is what you're going to be supporting in 2025, he would tell you you were crazy. So something dark, and whether that's like the power thing, you know, you see the power and you see the money, so you're going to sell your soul for that. I mean, you know, from a Christian perspective, you know, you can look at Jesus being, you know, shown all the kingdom that could be his if he were only to kneel before Satan. So pretty, the whole world, you know, but instead, you know, it's like, well, I'm going to kneel before Satan for a small pension or for a pension in healthcare. You know, it's like this in power and a title, you know, it's like, it's pretty rotten. And I just think when this is all said and done, it's going to be really interesting when they start taking apart what happened to people. How did they get to this place of dishonor where they sold their personal credibility for nothing?
Unfortunately, I mean, history repeats itself, so I think that we already really know how this is going to end. It's just a matter of how long it takes us to get there.
Yeah. Will the ballroom be where they do the trials? Will that be the Nuremberg trials?
Yes.
Because it's going to have the bunker in the basement.
That would be very satisfying.
That'd be a great place for people to serve their terms, you know, I think.
Yes.
You know.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my fantasies. But, well, you know, speaking of fantasies... Not a very good segue, but why don't we tell people more about the Trans Day of Remembrance, where it's going to be, what, you know, and how they can find out more and what it's going to be. Go ahead. Give us the radio voice, man.
Trans Day of Remembrance will be at Central Library, third floor, this Saturday at 2 p.m. Feel free to come early and check out art from our lovely trans community. There will also be a social hour after the programming, which is 2 to 4 p.m. And wait, what else? Yeah,
you're
just
not
got there.
Say wait, what else?
Well, I'm sorry, I can only hold that. Yeah. I can only hold that tone for so long. Especially,
oh,
I've been
doing so
I've
well.
Been falling asleep listening to you banter. It's been great. I'm like, let's bring Colton on the radio so I don't have to say anything. Thank you. Not being sarcastic.
We've got poetry. We've got musicians. We've got live music. We've got city council coming to say hello.
We have Colton. We have Colton.
You've got me.
We got Colton. Yeah. We've got
Colton. Oh, guess what? But wait, there's more. We have Maeve.
We have Miss Trans USA. We'll be
oh,
with
that
us.
Is true.
Oh, wait, is that Maeve, comma, Miss Trans? What? No. That can't
no,
be.
There was a comma
oh,
there.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. You know, one of the things that I'm finding interesting now that the Epstein files are going to be Ooh. Released, is that people don't know how much... Jeffrey Epstein was really into trans women and setting up people with trans women.
Well, have you seen that they, someone, oh gosh, I would have to look in at my phone because I don't recall, but there was a legitimate study done recently that overlapped the data of porn searches for trans women and voter data. Guess who searches for the most trans porn?
Say it isn't so.
It was drastically overlapped with the red zone.
Oh, so wait a minute. Are you saying that really highly conservative people have a thing for trans women? Now, wait a
Just
minute.
Saying.
That seems like as ridiculous to me as a conservative Christian preacher being a pedophile. I mean, like, or a Christian conservative Republican politician who is anti-gay being caught with a male prostitute. I mean, come on.
I
this
know.
Is the a, how could that be?
A philosophically inconsistent Reichweer? Maeve, hold me.
it's just never ceases to amaze me. And apparently, you know, we all heard the thing about Donald Trump and Clinton, which is probably baloney, but
I still love to think about it.
I do too.
I hate to think about it.
Well, yeah, not to think about the act, not the story. I like to think about the story.
But to me, it's like I don't understand why they wouldn't want these files released, anyways. Because it's not like he's going to lose if he's just having, which is a horrible thing. If he's just raping 14-year-old girls,
right.
You know, I don't think he would lose any of his base. I don't think any of his base would abandon him for that.
They're already backtracking. Megyn Kelly was just on air going off about, well, she's 15, not 5.
Right, exactly.
Like, you guys are already, this is the same person who has tweets from like 2 years prior.
Saying.
Something, yeah like, oh, if they're underage, they're underage. Like,
yeah, well, yeah.
Way to backslide there, Megan.
Right, and so I don't, they're not going to lose these people. So to me, it's like, there's something in there that's even worse. And I think, because I think I'd heard things about Trump having a thing for trans women, I wouldn't be surprised. And the big thing about Epstein that people don't realize too is that his thing was to get compromati. I mean, his thing was to, he had video cameras in every room. He did these things to get power, and he was in contact with the Russians a lot. So I'm so excited. I'm just really excited.
I mean, I am too, but I'll be curious to see what actually comes out that's not... Like, I don't know how much I trust it. Like, as much as I want it to come out, I don't know how much I trust that what does get released will actually be
the real
situation.
Yeah, they've had
the
files
situation.
In their lap for how many...
Yeah.
Like, for almost a year now.
They're going to come out and Trump's going to be mentioned like 3 times. They're going to be like, what happened?
that could very well happen.
So I'll be curious to see how that plays
out. Well, and some people don't realize that these emails that have been released aren't part of the Epstein files. They come from Jeffrey Epstein's family's estate.
Oh, okay.
That's where they're from. So people are thinking, oh my gosh, that's something that the Republicans were actually being very forward in releasing these things. No, it was the Democrats went after the Epstein estate and asked that they could have these emails released. And they don't, of course, for some reason, our press really doesn't talk about that. Okay, I think that's about it. So it's this Saturday. You guys have anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
if you're alone on Thanksgiving, like the day of, we're also doing a potluck at the Sand Pride Center, 715 East Sprague. Mm-hmm. For more info on that, visit SpokanePride.org or just call any of the numbers or emails on the website. We just didn't want anybody to be, you know, alone on Thanksgiving without, you know, knowing there's a place down at the center. You can come have some community. We also have a... on December 6th, we're doing a turnabout fundraiser where basically all the non-drag performers do drag. So that being said, I will be a very beautiful woman that night named Polyamorous.
Again, lose the mustache for that? Man, how serious are
you? It was because I was appearing in a play and I take my plays very seriously. Okay. You should have heard. Okay. You should have seen that. That was
what play were you in?
Well, it was the Moulin Rouge Drag Brunch, but so well produced. Yeah. It was basically a play.
Okay.
I was Harry Zidler because nobody was going to play him like me.
Okay.
And
he looked fabulous.
Bad joke.
Sorry, I missed it.
Bad joke. Anyway, but yeah, and that's all raising money for the Sand Pride food baskets that we do every year. We're hoping to feed about 300 families, in the queer community that just need a little extra help.
All right. Very good. Well, thanks for being here, and thanks, everybody, for listening. And, by the way, you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM. And now we join our regularly scheduled programming.
Good night.
Brooke Rollins, Trump's multimillionaire agriculture secretary, made crude political jokes about poor people during the GOP's government shutdown, laughing as she schemed to cut off their food stamps. She was an organized famine, illegally maneuvering to deny food for 42 million hard-hit American citizens. In addition, Project 2025 operatives want to yank health coverage from the poor. And, just for meanness, they propose killing the modest program that helps impoverished families pay their ever-rising home heating bills. Meanwhile, Trump poses as the Great Gatsby, living in tacky opulence while ignoring the economic mess and rank inequality created by his roaring 20s presidency. Indeed, the inequality is widening as he doles out hundreds of billions of our tax dollars in new giveaways to billionaires, including to his own sons. This is Jim Hightower saying, far from making America great again, Trump's most tangible achievement is to have had the White House's Lincoln bathroom remodeled. In a royal touch, Trump even had a chandelier installed above the toilet. Imagine how proud Honest Abe would be. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM and 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio. The following program was pre-recorded.
From Belém, Brazil, the gateway to the Amazon, where it 30, the UN Climate Summit. This is Democracy Now!
We are here claiming our rights, defending our forests, defending our animals, where we have survived all these years. We need to be recognized by the world as great guardians of the forest.
As indigenous protesters march outside the UN Climate Summit, COP30, we'll look at Brazil's contradictory climate policies. The Lula government has reduced deforestation in the Amazon while also approving oil drilling. Then we speak to a leading indigenous activist from Ecuador on the role of indigenous peoples here at the climate talks. Plus, Kumi Naidu, the longtime South African activist, former head of Greenpeace, as well as Amnesty International, now the president of the Fossil Fuel Non-Proliferation Treaty Initiative.
Let's be very clear and say it over and over again that the primary cause of the climate emergency is our addiction and our dependence.